Morning. When we come to something like the scriptures, we bring a lot with us. You never read something with a blank mind, and especially because there's so much grey hair among us, you excluded, we tend to bring a lot. Sometimes it's called baggage, you can call it lenses. I want to talk about this gospel passage this morning, but start by sharing, if not confessing, something I bring. So it's a bit of a personal story, and you may be able to relate to this. When I was knocking on the door of Christchurch Diocese many, many years ago, saying, pick me, for ordination, it was suggested I go off and do some pastoral training. So I went off for 11 weeks to do CPE, which is familiar Andrew, at least. And the format is you spend the mornings hands-on in some situations and the afternoon reflecting. And one of my assignments was a psychogeriatric ward at Sunnyside Hospital. So I spent 11 weeks there as chaplain. I learnt a lot. I came across all sorts of realities and situations that really stretched me, which is the point. I was 30-ish and had a sense of call, but had so much to learn. I want to share one incident that happened there. I wrote this up at the time, Andrew, because it was a profound incident. I came across something that I wasn't prepared for. So, I can't remember which ward it was, but I found myself sitting just across a little coffee table from a man named Herbert. Herbert was an elderly man. He reminded me of my grandfather. And I was working out how to be useful as a chaplain. I felt quite useless most of the time, worse than a spare part. I thought, well, what am I doing here? What's the brief? How can I be any help to anyone? It got me down after a while. But this morning I found myself sitting across from Herbert, and Herbert started talking. And he looked me straight in the eye, and he started to tell the story. And the basic story was that his grandson had come to visit, and the nurses had beat him up in the porchway just outside. That was the basic story. Now, I'm sitting here thinking, I don't think that's happened. He's telling me a story. But Herbert was heart and soul there. He was feeling it, there was a tear going down his eye. And And so there I was listening to Herbert. I had to work out, how do you love someone in that circumstance? What is the loving response? What is the loving engagement? You might have lived with this yourself quite a bit. You want to be there for them. But we're not in touch with reality. What do you do? And I can hear, I had to think this through in terms of my own integrity. What really is loving? Now, Barbara and I sometimes talk about the Herbert experience, because 30 years on, I'm still thinking about it at times. I still come across this. Someone looks me totally in the eye, and with heart and soul starts telling me something that I understand. But we're in this moment and we're together. And I want to love them as best I can. So there's a spectrum of possibilities. Start at this end. Yes, they're there, it's okay. dry their eyes, join them in that moment. Just suspend reality and be there with them. Right across to get off the grass, what did you have for breakfast? Get a grip, you know. There's a whole spectrum, isn't there? And we decide what we're going to do, don't we? And if you've had relatives with dementia or something that strains their grip on reality, this is real. And the reason I share this is because, especially in leadership, you can't be dragged along by people who, however heartfelt, however convinced, are living in a reality that doesn't chime, doesn't connect. And so you have to work out some way of saying no. As lovingly as I can, without demolishing you or making life harder, no. It's not like that. Or, no, I'm not buying into this. Or, no, we're not going there. It must be familiar to all of you. You can't say yes to everyone. For some reason, I remembered an ad Clive James, the Australian comedian, ran in New Zealand about 30 years ago with the ANZ Bank, the Yes Bank. You know? Yeah, right. You go to see your bank manager and they always say, yes, I see it. That's a brilliant business plan. As if, no bank says yes all the time. They know how to say no too. So just saying no, especially if you're in responsibility. But my question was, in terms of love for the other, care for the other. I was there in a chaplain's role. What am I meant to do? Where does my own integrity take me? Or am I just kind of a dramatic resource for the moment, and we'll just get the old boy through this, get him to lunch. And it takes on many forms. There was an acute form which wasn't so much part of my experience, but some of my fellow pastors is those who've had their first heart attack and are lying on their back in Christchurch Public. And actually, they're scared stiff. Some of you may have been here. First time in your life, you're lying on your back, and death has been real close. And so all the soft things come in. Oh, it's marvelous here. The nurses are so good. Life's a box of fluffy ducks. People talk as if they really want to be there. And so there's a whole padding, whole anesthesia going on around the drama, if not the terror, of what people are actually living through. And it's interesting, some hospital wards want to keep it that way. And as a chaplain, you're supposed to add to that, just sedate them, just calm them, you know. Talk about butterflies. And there was this little nun who was part of our course. Boy, she had a backbone. And she would engage men in this circumstance and say, rubbish, who are you fooling? And she was very unpopular with medical staff on the ward because she left them all in tears. But they were in touch with reality now. So I'm just giving you sort of a feel for what this is about. So when I come to this passage here about Jesus, I look at Jesus with great interest because, boy, he had interesting people come across his path. He had things said that just, how do you handle this one, Jesus? Jesus, and if you've got the sort of Jesus meek and mild kind of character, you could suspect that he never It was never sharp or defined. But today we have a passage where there's so much happening, and there was one line that really stood out and spoke to me, perhaps because of what I've just shared with you. So the first part of the story, if you want to follow it, we're in John 6, is the feeding, the miraculous feeding. And the baskets, and everyone has a feed, and 5 barley loaves and 2 fish feed 5,000. Just one little thing about this, we know there's an eyewitness account behind this, because the little details, like there's a lot of grass in that place. The eyewitness remembers this really happened. And they're all fed, and there are fragments, and they filled 12 baskets. So people are fed, people are happy. Yay! So what do they do? This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. Now Jesus isn't slow, he's very smart. And he realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king. He withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Now the thing is, Jesus had a way of saying no. No. You might really want to do this. You might have really thought this out. This may be your dearest aspiration, but no. They were coming to take him by force, we were told. You know, plonk him down, put a crown on his head, and bow down before him. All the drama of monarchy. But he said no. Does that make him a not nice person? But Jesus, these people really wanted you as king. No. They're very disappointed. They're going to go home and be angry now. This is the line that Judas Iscariot sings in Superstar, if you go back to the 70s. Jesus, think it through. Politically, you're making a bad move. No. Was he unloving? See, this is really challenging in terms of wisdom and leadership. And I've probably shared before, you know, I find 2-year-olds really fascinating. James, bring it on. Just how long? We've got almost 20 months. And then they discover this word, no. It's short and it's so powerful. And I've seen at times, you know, little trotters in the supermarket. No! And they say it about 20 times a day. Parents, are you with me? You know what I mean? And we talk about the terrible twos, but it's an essential part of their development. It's an essential part where they can express to all these big bogs around them, no. And then starts the negotiation, doesn't it? And that's where parenting, Tim and Megan, that's where parenting sort of moves up a gear. How do we negotiate with no? It's all the fun of being human. Do we respect their no? Or do we maneuver around it somehow? Distract them. Works till about 12, and by that time they've learned every trick that you have and they apply it to you. That's my experience. So back to God, back to Jesus. Jesus is capable of saying no. Is he rejecting? I don't think so. But he is drawing a line. And lines seem to be a huge challenge to us, and they're getting bigger. We live in an age where definition or clarity or lines have been dissolved, erased, dismantled, removed. Many of you were raised in a world where children were seen but not heard, and lines were hard. I love the way the Americans say it, the law is the law. Very hard, very black on white. But our adventure with democracy in the last half century has really kind of eroded that, erased it. Freedom means you can have whatever you want, whenever you want, as you want. And our politicians are running to try and deliver on that. The thing is, here is Jesus saying no. And there are many other examples of this. So the simple point I want to make is that while we may have adjusted to a world where no is not really the case, God is capable of saying no in his love for us, and it holds. It holds. Soon after we got back, I had to get the truck, Nova truck, certified. And I had to go through this whole process. And so, for car buffs, here's some detail. Got a rear crash bar with a mounting for a tow bar on it. But it's not certified for New Zealand. And I went through the certification process, and the inspector said, now, it's not certified, but you might just do the Kiwi thing and put one on anyway. Now, I thought that was interesting. You would never get that in Europe. The specification is hard. You don't go 1 millimeter over it. But here, it was soft. Oh, yeah, just put a tow bar on it. Be right. And then you read the newspapers where things go wrong. And all I'm saying here is that this idea of clear line, yes means yes, no means no. Our ideas about that need to come from God and Jesus Christ, not from the sort of common consensus as it's lived out around us. So, if you want to chat later, one thing I really would welcome sort of engagement on is whether you've had Herbert experiences. How you work out to say no to people whom, well, you don't think they've quite got it, or they are deluded, or they are misinformed. And the trick in that in our age is that it seems to be, and it's said again and again, so many people experience disagreement as a withholding of love. Now, there's all sorts of people that I disagree with, but it doesn't mean I reject them, it doesn't mean I hate them, it just means I disagree with them. I can park that quite calmly. But for a lot of people, disagree with them means you don't love me, or worse. And I think God demonstrates just where we need to be. I'm saying no, but I love you.